And welcome back to Sports the Nemo Way. This is Alex, and we're here to discuss John Havlicek, the 6'5", 203-pound small forward. He's an 8-time champ, 0-time MVP, 13-time All-Star, 11-time All-NBA, playing 16 years in the league after being the 7th pick in the draft, and he is a Hall of Famer. With career averages of 20 points, 6 and 4 on 44% shooting. And we will, I guess I didn't say who has them on our list. This is our first episode of 4 people have them and 1 doesn't. So almost back to the very beginning when it was 4 on 1. But now it's the opposite where the one person doesn't have them instead of has them. And that one person today is Ray. So, Ray, what do you got for us?
Okay, so I don't really like the 60s era, 70s era.
We didn't notice.
And there's a couple guys in here that will agree with me from time to time. But I do have one person on my list, probably from the 60s era, and that's coming up later on, which is Cousy.
Well, you also have Russell and Wilt.
Right.
And Oscar Robinson.
But I think Cousy's probably the big one that's on my list that kind of everybody kind of looks at me at. Okay. But I don't have Havlicek. And I'll try and explain why.
Okay.
He's comparable to players on my list. Not strong comparable, but Grant Hill, Vince Carter has similar stats. The only thing Havlicek really has on Vince and, I mean, yeah, mostly Vince's titles, really, compared to the stat situation. Titles are cool and all, but this podcast is top 50 NBA players, not top 50 NBA players who has the best stat line, because not all players have the same luck as other players. The only thing the stats do is give you a number to compare to, which is, I mean, you can't deny comparable stats in any formula and mathematical equations anywhere in the universe. But, let's see where I stopped at. But we've seen basketball games and we can all compare skill sets. And I think Vince Carter is a much better player than Havlicek. And if that's not a good enough example, then I'll bring up Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard has a better skill set than Havlicek. Havlicek definitely would not translate to another era of basketball, or other era than the pre-NBA merger era. I mean, he might be able to be a bench, you know, maybe like a Kyle Korver player, but definitely not what his accolades are right now. And yes, the evolution of the game has changed. And yes, Havlicek was the beginning of the NBA pretty much. But like I said above, not all players are as lucky as others. And Havlicek played in a crappy era of basketball. And how many stars were on that Celtics team? Plenty of decoys to help the players score. And that's my statement for that one.
All right. Well, I believe that kicks us to Wade, who has him ranked where, Wade?
45?
45th on his list.
45th, yes. Well, obviously he made my list, so I am not going to sit here and bash him too much. But I do have him a lot lower than everyone else, which I'm kind of surprised by. I didn't know he was going to be as high on everyone's list, to be completely honest. But nevertheless... I mean, obviously, the championships and the accolades are extremely impressive. By the same time, playing for those Celtics teams is kind of just a giant cheat code as far as accolades and championships. But nonetheless, I mean, he was a large contributor to those teams. So at the same time, it's, a benefit to him. As far as translating to other eras, that's where it got tricky for me, which I'm big on. I do think he was skilled enough to play in other eras. I'm just very unsure of how good he would be. That was tricky for me. But I do think he was a good enough player to definitely play in other eras. Be a superstar in other eras, I was a little iffy on. So that's what kind of made him fall on my list. Because on my shooting guard list, a lot of my top shooting guards are the ones that won championships. Because almost all of them put up great stats. But he's like my one exception, because he obviously has more championships than all my shooting guards. But he fell pretty much due to that for me. Just kind of unsure how he translates, and he played for the Celtics. So just a kind of an example of what I'm trying to say, in the Walt Frazier episode, we compared him and Bob Cousy, who played on some of those Celtics teams, and their stats were almost identical, and even Frazier even beat him in some things, but Bob Cousy's accolades like tripled his because he was a Celtic, even though he wasn't even necessarily better. So that to me was a little tricky. But yeah, he was an impressive player, with a lot of overall quality skills, and that's why he rounded out my list.
Well, thank you, Wade. I will say, before I go to Uncle Doug, I think that was your longest opening statement in a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was like, usually your opening statements lately have been like two sentences.
I don't know.
Wade saves it for later. Yeah. He jumps in. He's the closer.
Yeah. Indeed.
So sorry.
No, you're fine.
As I mentioned a second ago, I will kick it to Uncle Doug, who you said you had him at 28.
28. And he's 6 on my shooting guard.
Small forward
list. And looking at my small forward list, the guys that are behind him probably, or they do have better scoring stats than Havlicek had, but they didn't have nearly the accolades that Havlicek had. And Ray is correct. Playing for the Celtics during that time period was going to get you some NBA titles. It was going to get you some all-star appearances because they were super popular. But he's still 11-time All-NBA, and that might have something to do with the Celtics as well. But he was also 8 times All-Defense. Hondo could score some points, but he could also stop the other guy. He was also Finals MVP in the 73-74 Finals. And you guys know I like numbers, so I take a look at those. He peaked out point-wise in 70-71 at 28.9. That same year, he also averaged 9 rebounds and 7.5 assists. So Hondo could play. Total, he ended up 20th all-time on the scoring list, 84 on rebounds, 35 on assists. So if you look at the 20, the 35, my average kind of comes out in between there. He was a pretty good player for his era. And as far as the translation, he is tall enough at 6'5 to, I think, have played in other eras. Sometimes you get guys that you wonder that have to change positions. He could probably play. He might not score as much as he did then. But defensively, we've talked about defense before being effort. He was definitely an effort guy. Havlicek was going to put it out there. And like I said, everybody knows I'm a Laker fan, but I can still respect his talent. And so that's kind of why I had Hondo where I did.
All right. Thank you, Uncle Doug. And that leads us to Drew, who had him at 22.
Yep.
So, Drew, what you got for us, bud?
Well, when I put him at 22, it's kind of in the middle at number 6 on my small forwards list. Some of the people behind him, some of them scored more than him. Some of them scored less than him. But the ones that scored less don't have as many accolades as him. And the ones that scored more don't have as many either. So I think for the era he played in on the team he played on, for averaging 20 points for his whole career, I think that's pretty impressive. Some of those years when he scored 28, 27, 24, I think that's pretty impressive, because we talk about how loaded these teams were for him to be able to score all that. If we have Bob Cousy, Bill Russell, John Havlicek, and who knows who else on those teams for him to be able to do that. And he got a finals MVP, which, I mean, I know he won 8 of them and then went to 11 of them. So, I mean, at least he got one of them.
Got one. So,
at least he got one of them.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So we can say he's one of the people that he was the best on a championship team. He's one of those few on our list. So, 8 all-time defense, like we've been talking about lately. Seems like we've had a lot of those guys lately that have been good at defense. Kind of like we talked about last week in the Anthony Davis episode. All-around good player, I think. That's all I got.
All right. Well, I guess that leads to me, who has him ranked the highest at 17, slightly ahead of Drew. To start off my opening statement, I just have an interesting fact that I've learned looking this up. John Havlicek was drafted by the Cleveland Browns as a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah. I did see that.
He never played in a regular season game. After his rookie season, he played the preseason with them and then went back to play with the Celtics and decided he was going to concentrate on football or on basketball, excuse me, and never went back to play for the Browns. But he was drafted as a receiver for the Cleveland Browns, which I had no idea that happened. Also, interesting fact about somebody that's not on our list, but a Hall of Famer. Did you guys know that Dave DeBuscher pitched 2 seasons in Major Leagues?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I found, Havlicek was just on this list of two sport athletes, and then Dave DeBuscher showed up, and I was like, what did he do? And they're like, yeah, he was a pitcher. He was really good. Like, he had, like, a 2.3 ERA or something. Like,
No idea at all that he...
Right. I'm not trying to make this a Dave DeBuscher episode, but I just thought that was really interesting. But here's my opening statement. I think there are some misconceptions about John Havlicek that hurt his reputation, especially around younger NBA fans. He did win a bunch of titles with Russell Celtics, but I think people view him as a role player, and I just don't think that's true. He won 6 titles with Russell's Celtics, but he was the leading scorer on 3 of them. But then he moved into the best player on the team role once Russell retired, winning a title as Uncle Doug said, a finals MVP, and then winning another title as probably the second best player behind Dave Cowens. The next thing would be that, he's not athletic, and I think that has to do with him being a white guy. Like I mentioned earlier, he was drafted as a receiver in the NFL. But on top of that, I kept coming across quotes by a whole sorts of different people. But this one struck me as interesting because it came from the Lakers head coach, Fred Shouse. Am I saying that right? I don't know. I mean, we're talking about the 60s, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But no one in the league at his size is even close to as quick as John Havlicek. There was plenty more statements about how he was a freak athlete and a physical specimen. So I'm into just say something, Ray, about what you said earlier. Havlicek did play after the merger. He played a couple years after the merger and he has a very famous duel with Dr. J in, I think, 77.
No, I know he played. It was just, you know, the translation into that.
Yeah, I was just—I mean, he was an old man. His last couple seasons at 36 and 37 years old, but he was still averaging 17, 5 and 5, you know, stuff like that. So it wasn't but at 36, I mean, that's not too terrible.
Yeah, that's normal.
So yeah, that's my opening statement for my number 17 guy, John Havlicek. So do you have any rebuttals for any of us after we all just talked there, Ray?
Let me see if I can put something together here.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot. We could. I can go to somebody else.
Yeah, do that real fast. Let me put my thoughts together here.
Something else that I forgot to mention when I was talking. He also made the NBA 30th anniversary team and the 50th anniversary team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made both of those. And you were talking about him playing with Dave Cowens. That was far enough along that I remember watching that championship series, and he was a really good player.
Well, they beat Jabbar and the Bucks, right?
I may have been, yeah, because I was a Jabbar fan. Yeah. So I definitely would have been watching if Jabbar was playing.
Yeah, well, I know in one of the championships they beat Jabbar and Robertson, whichever right. one that was, 70.
Yeah.
They won two of them there in the 70s. What was it? Well, here, let's see if I can find
it. I don't remember when that first one Jabbar won.
Yeah.
It was early 70s.
But yeah, but they won two of them there. One of them they beat Jabbar. Right. I watched a big thing on it. And Robertson. And their thing was they sicked Havlicek on Robertson.
Right.
And he held Robertson to like 11 points a game in that series. And they were the only team in the league that year to single cover Jabbar. Essentially, Tommy Heinsohn was their coach at that point. And Heinsohn goes, let Jabbar get his, and we'll shut everybody else down.
Yeah.
And Jabbar averaged like 38 points in that series, and they lost. So,
okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Or I guess everybody, since I'm the castaway. Take away his titles, is he still on your list?
I mean, he's definitely not as high on my list without his titles.
Right. I think he would still be on my list. I think he would be yeah. farther down.
I mean, I guess, I mean, if we're looking at, I mean,
which titles are we taking away? The ones where he's the best player or the ones where he's just playing with just, Russell?
Yeah. Just take them all away. Is he on your list?
So like, say, like, he doesn't play for the Celtics. He plays for a crappy team his whole career.
Yeah,
and he still gets like his 13 All Stars, 11 All NBAs, and yeah, all that.
Yeah, we'll let him have the 13 All Stars, all the NBAs, no titles on a crappy team. Is he still on your list?
I mean, it's hard to picture it, but I think so because, I mean, we just had multiple episodes in a row. Wade brought it up in the last episode. Wade was talking about how Anthony Davis had 4 All NBAs, and that was more than guys on our list.
And he had
right. like he has 11 All NBAs,
and eight All Defense.
You know, he's a – I mean, I guess we're taking away the finals MVP. But, you know, so, I mean, and his stats are very good.
Right.
His career numbers, his career counting numbers mm-hmm. are very, very good. Elite, I guess, almost. But and his averages are very nice. I mean, 26 and 4. Sorry. I keep trying to run those first two numbers together. It sounds like 26. So, yeah, I think he would move down on my list. I've said in too many episodes at this point that I value championships a lot. So him coming in at 3 on my small forward list had a lot to do with titles.
Yeah, he would definitely go down on my list, but I think he'd probably still make it.
Yeah. Okay. He, on mine, might go down. If he has none, he might drop to 11 because I had Dominique at my 11, who also put up phenomenal stats. But played for the Hawks. Yeah.
So he wouldn't be...
it was a shave on defense.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm trying to think. But Dominique played in the 80s, not the 60s and 70s.
That's true.
So I don't know. I would have to think about it. But he might drop to 11 for me if we take away the championships.
Okay.
So is there a specific reason you asked that?
I just want to get a consensus of what's going on in your guys' head about... Why he's? I mean, he does have good stats, and I don't know. I mean, he's got a decent shot, but I really don't see that shot translating anywhere except for the 60s. I mean, maybe if you put him in a spot up corner, like they do Korver or, you know, any other specialist like that, maybe it translates. But I just don't see him in any other era translating more than a spot up shooter for specialists. You know, like an old Ray Allen on the Heat.
I mean, he could shoot a jumper, I guess. Yeah, I mean, he shot a regular jump shot. We're not talking about two-handed set shots and push shots.
No,
at
I
this
know.
Point.
No, yeah, yeah. No, I got
could
that.
See him possibly not being like Klay Thompson, but I could see him being like a not as good version as Klay Thompson. Obviously like not up to his level, but he's 6'5", Clay's 6'6". They both play good defense. So he shoot. I see him.
I don't know that he shoots like Clay, though.
That's what I'm saying, not.
I mean, he's shot a lot of jump shots, but, I mean, there was no three-point line.
Right.
So we don't know what, like, I didn't see anything that, like, measured his shooting to see, you know, because, like, I know with, like, Rick Barry, there was a whole bunch of stats of he shot, and Pete Maravich, like, he shot so many shots beyond 28 feet or whatever, and that would have given him more points. I didn't see anything like that for Hondo, so I don't know anything about that, I guess, is what I'm saying.
And I'm not saying he's going to be as good as Clay, but I can see him being that kind of player. Maybe not shooting, but everything else, like defense and stuff.
I do still – I have a few more things over here so I can just get them out of the way. I can put my paper down, I guess. Like I said earlier, he's the leading scorer on four championship teams. He has the third most all-defensive teams for a small forward, doing that while playing 6 years before that award existed. He has the third most all-NBAs for small forwards. And he played his entire career before the NBA All-NBA third team was instituted. I think we covered that in another episode. It came in
McHale?
89 or something.
We talked about it in the McHale
episode. Yeah, it was in the McHale episode, yeah. He has the third most rings ever. He's 20th all-time in scoring, 6th among small forwards, all small forwards. And he's 49th in points per game all time. He's 84th all time in rebounds. Again, 6th among small forwards. And he's 35th all time in assists, 3rd among small forwards. And he's 138th all time in assists per game as a small forward. He's one of only 10 players all time to make 8 all NBAs and 8 all defensive teams. Bill Russell is once said, this is a direct quote, "He is the best all-around player I ever saw. He goes down for eternity as a physical specimen, an elite basketball player of the highest order. The end, period." That wasn't me saying that. That was part of the quote.
No, I know. I heard that part.
I know, but sometimes when you say the end or shit like that, like, it sounds like you're ending the thing, and I'm like, no, that's literally part of the quote.
Mic drop.
Jerry West and Rick Barry. I didn't put both the quotes down word for word because they're both very similar. But Jerry West and Rick Barry, who were two of his counterparts during his career, both quoted him as being the true superstar of the NBA. I don't know if this was like a retirement ceremony or what they were talking about when they said it. But they talked about him being the true superstar of the NBA, and Rick Barry just said that John Havlicek was a better player than he was. And so, but then my last thing is, this is how John Havlicek got his nickname, Hondo, which, for those of you that don't know, is because of John Wayne. They called him Hondo because they said he was like John Wayne. Because everyone remembers Havlicek stole the ball in 1965. Like, that's one of the most memorable scenes in NBA history. Havlicek stole the ball! Havlicek stole the ball! And they win the title. It was a clutch defensive play that won them a title. But there's more than just that. The jumper he hit in the 86 finals to win the 68 finals, sorry. Or in 69 when he hit the Eastern Conference Finals series winner against the Knicks. Or in 74 when he sent the deciding game into OT with a clutch jumper and then went on to win the game. He was really as clutch as they come, hitting game winner after game winner, which is why they said he was as cool as John Wayne, so they started calling him Hondo.
Wow.
Yeah, and if you don't know, Hondo is a book by Louis L'Amour that made into a famous John Wayne movie.
Yes.
And it's a pretty good movie, by the way.
It is a very good movie. I own it.
Yep.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was thinking in terms of some of the modern guys, and so I took a look at a couple guys that I had really close to making my small forward list. Kawhi is near and dear to Wade's heart.
Yeah.
And Paul Pierce, who I believe Ray had on your list,
yep,
right?
Yep, I sure did.
Okay. So Hondo played 1,270 games. Pierce played 1,340. Minutes per game, Pierce played 34. Havlicek played 36.6. That was his average for all those games. I mean, he's played a lot of minutes. Field goal percentage, Pierce beat him a little bit, 445 to 439. Assists, 3.5 for Pierce, 4.8 for Havlicek. Rebounds, 5.6 for Pierce, 6.3 for Havlicek. They were 1.3 and 1.2 in steals, 0.6 and 0.3 in blocks. Pierce had 19.7 on points, Havlicek 20.8, turnovers 2.5 and 2.6. So again, we're talking Havlicek just a little bit ahead of him in most of these stats. And then you add on the all defense, everything else. That's, oh, sorry. That's why I picked him. I was wandering with the mic. Sorry, everybody.
No, I found that similar argument with a lot of people I compared him to. It was like, there's guys that can compare to him statistically, but then when you get down to the accolades, there's no comparison.
Right, yeah. It just moves him up.
Yeah. That's why he's so high. I was probably going to be the highest when I put him at 3. And I was okay with it because I was like, and I think I've been consistent throughout all these episodes that I value championships, especially when you're the best player on a championship team. And Havlicek not only has a ton of championships, but he is the best player on a championship team. And he was the leading scorer on 4 championship teams. Another interesting fact I just thought of that I left out earlier. When Auerbach retired and went to the front office, I think everybody knows he named Bill Russell player coach. Well, Russell said it was too much of a burden for him to coach the whole team. So he literally named Havlicek offensive coordinator. He even called it that. So Havlicek coached the offense while Russell coached the defense, and that's how they ran 3 championship teams.
So I understand where you guys are getting at. The stats and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm just more of an out-of-a-box kind of thinker.
Mm-hmm.
Of I get the stats and I get the titles and I get the accolades, but where does the actual skill set come in to where you combine that with everything? He's a decent shooter, mm-hmm. and he played in an era where, there wasn't a big talent pool. But then you get down the road a little bit, and you keep getting more people with better talent and better talent and talent with least accolades, but it's harder competition. Where does that come into your mindset when you're doing all this? Because in my set, I got to think about, okay, so he doesn't have any titles, but his skill set was way better than the other person. And that's why he's on the list. I mean, titles are awesome. I wish Reggie had a title because they had a great team, and I wish this player had a title. Charles Barkley was great, and they had a great finals team. But, sometimes skill set overrides titles in my thinking.
I can get behind what you're saying, at least partially. I mean, I think there are guys that are more skilled than other guys that, we all still have Barkley and Malone high on our power forward list, even though they don't have titles. But Duncan's higher than them because he has titles.
Yeah, and I agree with you with that one. But, I mean, he is got the most balanced skill set on that list.
I guess I don't know exactly what you're getting at when it comes to skill set. I'm not a huge fan of the 60s and 50s and those times. I've come at players for that. So I'm not saying he would be the exact same player he was during this era. I don't think that at all. But I've also said this in multiple episodes. In order to come out of that era and make my list, you got to do one of two things. You got to win a ton, or your stats have to be ridiculous. He did win a ton. And at least during his prime, his stats are kind of ridiculous. I mean, you're looking at 24-7-6, 29-9-7, 27-8-7, 23-7-6, 22-6-6. I mean, and he never had those seasons at the end of his career where he was just garbage. You know, his last season in the league at 37 years old, 16-4-4. I mean, it's not phenomenal, but it's
still
it's
37.
Better than some people just sitting on the end of the bench. And
yeah, and I'm not even picking on certain guys. I mean, like, we watched Vince hang on forever in his last handful of seasons. He's averaging like 3 and 5 and things like that. Robert Parrish did that.
Or like when Wade was dissing on Gary Payton for his Heat title.
Because it's not a title.
Even Kareem held on too long.
Yeah.
You know, his last couple
seasons. Kareem was good at 37, though.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. So.
I think I'm the closest to your opinion, to be completely honest. But here's how I kind of viewed it.
Okay.
Because Alex has him the highest, and I have him the lowest. I agree with you in the fact that I don't put as much stock into his accolades as I think some of they do, because he played for the Celtics in the 60s. And I don't think he would be necessarily a superstar in other eras. But kind of like Alex said, he was the best player on it's multiple championships, right?
Well, he's the best player on the first one, the 70s, for sure.
Or the him or Count.
And Collins. Either him or Count. Their statistics are fairly similar in the second one.
But I lost my train of thought. Anyway, that is a big thing, being a best player on a championship team, which I think we've talked about on probably most episodes. And he was a great defender and offensive player. So I think, and he had a good shooting, translates pretty well. So I think in like if he played in the 80s or 90s, I do think he could be a good player, in my personal opinion. And you have to give him some credit for 8 championships and 13 all-star appearances.
look,
in my opinion, I have Kawhi higher than him. Obviously Kawhi doesn't have not even half the accolades, but right. I think Kawhi could dominate. He would kick his ass in the 60s, I think.
Yeah.
But I think Kawhi would translate to all eras. Or like in your case, you're big on Grant Hill. I think Grant Hill could destroy everyone in all eras of basketball. And that's why Havlicek dropped for me. But I still had to give him some respect because he still was very good and has 8 championships.
No, I mean, I understand where you guys are coming from. And I get it. I mean, I'm not denying he was good for the 60s. But other than that, I don't see him really being anything more than a, pop-out shooter specialist than anything else. And, I can understand, you know, giving him props for the area. I mean, 8 championships is nothing to knock. Don't get me wrong. I mean, that is fucking outstanding. But it's the 60s.
I mean, he played till almost 80. I mean, his last year was 78.
What last year? What was the last year he won a championship?
He played the year before Bird and Magic.
He was finals MVP in the 73-74 season.
Okay.
So, like I said, MVP in 73-74.
So, we're getting pretty close to...
He played well almost all the way through the 70s. I think it was kind of the...
Yeah, he started in 62-63 and went all the way to 78, so...
I would have almost liked to see him play in the ABA. And see how he translated there.
I mean, I don't know, but I mean, one of his contemporaries is Rick Barry. They played at almost the exact same time in professional basketball. And Rick Barry went from the NBA to the ABA and back. And when he went to the ABA, his numbers blossomed. And then he came back and his numbers went back down. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it's an apples to apples comparison necessarily. Maybe Havlicek's numbers wouldn't have blown up in the ABA, but it seemed to be a common thing. I mean, when Dr. J came over, his numbers went down. When I'm sure there's other guys I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But, I mean, it's just – it is. I don't know what he would have done for sure in the right. in the ABA. Sure.
I have a question for you, Alberta.
Sure.
I think – let me make sure I'm not wrong here. All of you have Jerry West higher than Havlicek, right? Or am I wrong?
Yeah,
I believe
yeah.
I do.
And I also have Jerry West higher than Havlicek, obviously. But do you have Havlicek higher on your list because of the championships?
Yeah.
Just because of the championships?
Okay. I don't know if it's just because of the championships, but championships play a large role in it.
Because yeah. My personal opinion, I think Jerry West is, I don't know how to word this, because I don't want to make Havlicek sound bad.
We'll just leave that for the next episode then.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
that is part of what we're doing here, though. We're talking about where we rank guys.
Yeah.
But they're both. I mean, they're both white guys from the '60s and '70s.
I view Havlicek as maybe a little worse version of Jerry West, personally. I mean, again, it's just my opinion, but I don't know. But I mean, one just played. You know, one play. I mean, they both played great players. But everyone knows that those Celtics teams were just destroying everyone. So if Jerry West goes there, has the same amount of championships, and I mean Jerry West had better stats, correct? Thought it was he had quite a bit better stats. Maybe not quite a bit better, but decently better stats.
I'm sure. I know his points per game are higher, and I'm sure his assists are probably higher. I don't know about his rebounds. But here's my thing. I don't dislike Jerry West by any means. I have him ranked like 26th, I think.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
26th. So I don't have him ranked low by any means. He's just what 9 spots lower than Hondo. Mm-hmm. And like I said, championships have a lot to do with that. But if Hondo won all of his championships with the Russell Celtics, this conversation would be different. But he didn't. And West played with a pantheon of all top 50 guys, a bunch of top 50 guys, and I shouldn't say a few top 50 guys, and couldn't get it done repeatedly. Playing with Wilt and Elgin Baylor, and then a Hall of Famer in Gail Goodrich, and for like 2 seasons, they were all 4 there. And, you know, they were getting beat by sometimes this team right here. That's why I gave Hondo the edge there.
Hmm. Interesting.
Honestly, like I really like Jerry West. I'm not trying to bash Jerry West, but I always find it ironic that they call him Mr. Clutch, and he's 1-9 in NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean he did win a Finals MVP while losing because he was so good in the Finals.
That's true.
I mean he was a monster. Yeah.
I mean, Havlicek played in that same finals and averaged like 35 points a game. It was just West was averaged like 46.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. You were asking about the numbers. Rebounds. Havlicek was 6'3", West is 5'8". Assists. Havlicek's 4'8", West is 6'7". Points 20.8 for Havlicek, 27. For West.
Mm. So. Nice. Hmm. Okay. I was just curious because we all have West higher than Havlicek except you, but I was just wanting your opinion.
And here I have my West argument sitting here, so let me look before I say anything crazy. Oh, by the way, I do want to say this. West and Havlicek have a relationship, like, outside of basketball. Like, they're like friends, I guess is what I should have said.
I was about to ask you if they hold hands walking down the street or romantic.
No. Havlicek was asked in an interview one time if he could give one of his championships to somebody, who would it be? And he said Jerry West.
Huh.
So
where did Havlicek go to college?
He went to
Ohio State.
The Ohio State University.
Okay. And of course, West went to West Virginia. So,
I was telling Doug and Drew off air, and I think, I don't know if Wade and Ray were standing there or not, the ranking as far as West goes on shooting guards list, we're not very different. You, Doug and Drew have him at 3, and Wade and I both have him at 4. We just differ in where we have him on the overall list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I have West ranked very similar to you guys on the as a shooting guard. It's just where my shooting guards fell that backed him up. And like I said, he's still 26. I didn't, you know, he's not in the 40s or something. And I think what. Drew, you have him at 7.
Yeah, but I have him at 7.
And you have him at 13.
Top 20, yeah. I think it's in the teens.
You know where you have him, Wade?
21.
Oh, so you're only 5 different than me.
What, Havlicek's at 45.
Well, that's true. That's true.
But, yeah.
I don't doubt that if West was drafted by the Celtics, you know, he would have championships. But what differentiates Havlicek from Sam Jones and Casey Jones and even Cousy to an extent is that he won championships without Russell. None of those guys were ever able to do that. I also think those Celtics teams, you know, we talk about the amount of Hall of Famers on that team. The reason they have the amount of Hall of Famers they do is because they won 11 championships. Casey Jones' career averages are like 11-3-2, and he was a first ballot Hall of Famer. And no other instance would he even make the Hall of Fame.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, yeah, Casey Jones is in the Hall, you know, fine and dandy. I'm not trying to take it away from him. You know, he was even a coach later in his career and stuff. But do I really think, you know, if he was drafted by you know, Syracuse or something, he'd be in the Hall of Fame? Probably not.
Yeah.
So the reason I think Havlicek separates himself and is because he did it himself later. You know, Bob Cousy didn't like him. Bob Cousy said he wasn't any good after his rookie season and that he would never make it in the league. And then Cousy retired and Havlicek went on to win a bunch of championships and you know, erase Cousy from a lot of the record books. And
I mean, Cousy retired and the Celtics kept on winning
they just
a lot without him.
Yeah, I believe Cousy and Havlicek, like, both won 6 championships with Russell. Like, they overlapped for a year, but they both won 6. So they only caught each other by, like, a year. So, yeah. Well, do we want to do closing statements on old Hondo?
Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, you started this thing, Ray. Let's go ahead and finish it, buddy.
All right. Like I said before, I mean, the accolades are good. Titles are great. But I got to look at skill set at the same time. I mean, he's got a decent shot. I mean, you can't knock the all defensive teams, but down the road, there are better defensive players and better shooters as the eras go on. And if y'all think he translates in other eras, that's fine. But I just don't see it. I don't see him more than a specialist off the bench. So I couldn't throw him up there on the list. I mean, I got to throw respect for his, you know, time in the 60s and a little bit in the 70s. But I just can't do it. Sorry.
All right. So, Wade, do you want to give us your closing statement?
He made my list because, you know, you got to give someone some love who has 8 championships and all those all-NBAs and all-stars. But he was 45th due to some of the stuff Ray was saying. He did play with the Celtics. And I'm just kind of up in the air about him translating. Like I think I've already said it a couple of times. I think he could play in other eras. I'm just not quite sure if he'd be the same dominant player. So that's why he slid down my list. But he was a great player in the 60s and 70s for sure. And that's why he rounded out my list.
Fair enough, Uncle Doug.
Yeah. Like we've talked before, I want to give Ray props for the the question about the titles, because that is a good question, because that did weigh into my thinking. But I also think being the finals MVP, I mean, if he doesn't have the title, I mean, to me, the finals MVP is more important than all the titles, all the rest of the titles. The fact that he was the best player on that team. But I also like the 8 times all defense, 11 all NBAs. And this is an old guy that I actually saw play when I was a kid. And I just remember him having a lot of heart. And, you know, one of those guys that left it all out there. And so that's why I put him ahead of some guys that maybe had a little better numbers. But he certainly has the accolades.
Drew?
Well, I kind of have a question for my closing statement, kind of. For John Havlicek, would you rather have... Okay, so we're going to split his titles up here. Would you have his 7 titles with no finals MVP and everything else the same? Would you have his finals MVP title?
I mean, I guess I would take the 74 title when he was the best player.
Let me rephrase this. Which one would help his resume the best, looking at it?
Being the best player on the championship team.
Yeah, I can respect the best player over.
I think the best player is pretty important.
I mean, like I think we said in a past episode, we counted 34. So, like, 34 guys that we counted, so maybe we missed one or two, but 34 guys in the history of the NBA have been a best player on a championship team, and Hondo would be one of them. You know, and you could make a case for him doing it twice. Cowens was pretty good the second time they won. That's my opinion.
I just wanted to ask that question, see how everyone felt, since it was such a big gap between one finals MVP and then 7. So see which one you'd rather.
But he has all of them.
I know he has all of them. I'm not discrediting. I'm just saying.
Is that it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, excuse me. I obviously have Hondo the highest on my list. Like I said earlier, I think I figured it would probably be that way, although Drew and I are pretty close. Drew seems to be, of all the people in this room, to be the guy that values old guys the most for some reason. You know, the guy that was born after 2000. As you could tell from my opening statement, I don't think Havlicek couldn't translate. Like I said, he has a famous duel with Dr. J when Dr. J was considered the greatest player in the world, where he holds his own against Dr. J. I think, you know, when people think of these old Celtics, they throw them all in one pile. And I think Havlicek is the one guy, outside of Russell, I mean, that sticks out on his own because of what he was able to do after Russell. So that's why I have him ranked higher, you know, because I don't know where I have Cousy ranked, but Cousy's ranked much lower. Because I don't think Cousy stands out quite the way Havlicek did, and Cousy never won without Russell. So... that's why I have that the way I did. So, I think that's the wrap up of the John Havlicek portion of our episode, and that will move us into trivia. Does anybody have a question ready?
I'll hurry and do mine before I forget it. I just had to look it up on Drew's phone because I didn't have one ready.
Okay.
What college did Elvin Hayes attend?
Oh, shoot.
Oh. Yeah, my dad writes it down.
I have no idea.
Uncle Doug always dominates college questions.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, Uncle Doug, but you would have been able to watch this, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
I think. I'm not positive I'm on this one.
I have a guess.
It would have been...
So what college do I want to guess this
right
week?
Right, exactly. It's just like write a random college down because I have no idea.
Culver Stockton.
I believe he was in college in the late 60s.
Right, so I was pretty small.
Yeah. I believe. Maybe right around 70. I don't know, something like that.
All right, I wrote a college down.
All right, yeah.
Ray, did you write one down?
I did.
Okay, making sure. So we're all good. All right, what we got?
I wrote on LSU.
Okay.
Houston.
Okay.
UCLA.
UCLA.
It is Houston. It is
Houston. That's Can't say I'm surprised. Uncle Doug got it.
That's the one game Jabbar lost.
Is it really?
Oh. Elvin Hayes beat him.
Hmm.
Yeah. I remember anyway. There might have been another game in there, but I do remember Elvin Hayes beating him.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I think they played twice that year. And Hayes beat him during the regular season, and then Jabbar got even in the playoffs.
Mm. Seems how it went with UCLA.
Mm. All right. Does somebody else want to go?
Yeah, I got one.
All right.
All right. Which team was the first to miss the NBA playoffs a year after winning the championship?
The first team to do it?
The first team. Which team was the first to miss the NBA playoffs a year after winning the NBA championship? I don't know if they were the first, but maybe it's kind of worded different. Let me just read it again.
Okay.
Which team was the first to miss the NBA playoffs a year after winning the championship?
Okay.
So, yeah,
okay.
The first.
So they won.
They won the title, and the next year they weren't even in the playoffs.
Right.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Wow. Okay.
I saw a statistic on this the other day, actually.
Good old.
Often does this happen? I can't feel like it happens very often.
No.
I'm
just trying to think of teams that run the championship.
I've got a guess, but it's not a very good one.
My guess is I have a reason for it, but I don't know that it's good.
Okay, I got to put a team down.
Is that everybody?
Wait, no. Come on. I'll just go with this.
Okay.
I wrote down the Blazers.
I put the Sonics?
I said the Knicks. I
said the Bucks.
It's none of those. It was the 1969-1970 Boston Celtics.
There you go.
Oh.
And I didn't want to go with that question, but, you know, after this episode, I thought I should go with that question.
Well, I went with the Blazers because I knew Walton was hurt the next year. So I was like, well, maybe they missed the playoffs because Walton wasn't there.
Well, I didn't know. The Spurs the year because did they win and then Duncan got hurt that – yeah, because Duncan got hurt that next year after they won in 99.
Well, didn't we just say they had 18 straight seasons of 50 wins?
Yeah, but that –
Yeah. You should have thought about this because you said earlier in the episode that the year after
Russell,
the Celtics
had a bad season.
They had a bad season.
Yep.
I didn't think about that. Yep. Should have.
I did say that.
Good question, Ray.
Tricky.
Yeah.
You or me, Drew?
I'll go.
All right.
What brand of shoe was banned in the NBA temporarily?
Do you have a time when this happened? Is that allowed?
Brand of shoe.
Or are we just guessing?
I don't know.
Okay, we're just guessing.
All right. I have no idea. It's going to be something that's not around anymore.
All right.
I got an interesting guess.
I think I spelled it wrong, but who cares?
I got one.
All right.
All right, let's see them.
I said L.A. Gear.
I said Puma.
I said Kangaroos.
I put Reebok.
Jordans.
Really?
Jordans.
Really?
The NBA did it, and Michael Jordan was fined $5,000 a game every time he wear one.
Wow.
I do not remember that.
You know why?
No. I don't know why.
That's weird. I like... Was there something in the shoe that made them be outlawed? How do I not remember this?
Yeah, I don't remember that. Wow. I was thinking like L.A. Gear.
Maybe it has something to do with the NBA. I don't know.
Oh, he was a current player selling. I don't know, but that
because
happens all
their
time.
Their colors broke the league's uniform rules.
Oh.
Okay.
Interesting.
Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm glad he could afford that.
Well, I don't know what the rules are in the actual NBA, but on 2K, your shoes have to either be black, white, or the color of your jersey.
Mm.
So well, is that the same rule in the NBA?
They said that the black and red did not match. So
it was like more different red than the Bulls jerseys or something?
I don't know.
But the NBA wrote a letter to Nike saying.
Mm. I'm sure there's a bunch of people in Chicago right now calling us dumbasses.
Yeah, probably.
Well, I mean, that's been the uniform rule that the shoes have to match the uniform for I don't know how long, but I've been seeing I don't know how many different colors of shoes in this NBA finals.
They might be, you know, red, but it's not nearly the same red or purple or whatever.
I mean that's true too.
Yeah. Nowadays, guys have shoes with like 8 different colors on them.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, like the new KDs are like has like 20 colors on it. It's like like you took a palette and just threw paint on it.
Yeah, I don't know. So,
yeah, that's interesting. Good question, Drew.
Yeah, absolutely. Who's that leave?
You and me.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. Hondo is one of 4 players to win 8 titles. As Alex said earlier, he's third on the list. Third, there's 2 guys ahead of him. One is obvious. So, but still, name the top 2. They have 11 titles and 10 titles.
Oh, man. Crap.
I'm ready.
Thank you.
I want to try and think of some old dude, but I can't.
And it's not Big Shot Bob. He's only got 7.
I know he only has 7. 2 with the Rockets, 3 with the Lakers, and 2 with the Spurs.
Yep.
He's up there, though.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where he ranks, but, I mean, he's one less than Hondo.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean.
And Hondo is tied with 4. There's like 4 players tied at 8.
Oh, so. Okay.
Who? All right, I'm good.
Okay. I don't know. But I'm good.
Okay.
Russell and Jones.
Yeah. But Russell and Jones.
Russell and Pettit.
We got our Bob Pettit reference in.
I had Ori, and then I put I don't know then after Doug said that.
Yeah, it is Russell and Jones.
Sam Jones, right?
Yeah, Sam Jones. Bill Russell had 11, Sam Jones got 10.
I even put the S before Sam Jones.
That's right.
I figured it was a Celtic, but I couldn't think of the name.
Well, you know, like we were talking earlier, there's guys that were in and out. Like Cousy had like 6, and Hondo had, you know, like they weren't there for all of them.
Yeah,
they were in and out, but evidently Sam was there the whole time.
Well, they also
or most
went,
of it.
They also went to college together and won a championship at college together.
Oh,
So, Sam Jones is not Casey Jones. Sam Jones was a leading scorer on multiple of those teams and stuff.
Sam Jones was like a legit all-star.
Yeah, Sam Jones
was a good player.
Very
good.
But Sam Jones literally just followed Russell around and won a bunch of championships. Like, they won in college together. They won in the pros together. I don't know if they won in the Olympics together. I don't know. I should look that up. But, craziness. All right. So that leaves me, correct? So my question is, who in the current playoffs, who leads the playoffs in win shares?
Win shares. Interesting.
Okay, I got mine.
Okay.
I got a guess.
I'm ready.
Wins.
Yeah. You got it, Drew?
No, one
second. He's erasing.
Don't erase it. It could be bad.
All right. I'm ready.
All right, you got?
I got Middleton.
I put Ayton.
Giannis.
Going with Chris Paul again.
The correct answer is Ayton.
Oh.
How'd you know that, Willard?
Because I'm smart, bro.
I guess. I'm impressed, Wade.
I'm almost out of room on the paper. I gotta get a new paper here soon. All right. After this week's scoring, the scores are as follows. Ray with 16, Uncle Doug with 30, Alex with 31, Drew with 32, and Wade with 41.
Jeez, Wade's kicking our butt.
I can't believe I'm down by 16 plus.
Yeah. Sorry, Ray.
Alex just goes, yeah.
Well, at least I'm in the draft lottery.
There you go. All right, well, that wraps up this episode on John Hondo Havlicek. Please join us next week for our episode on the previously mentioned Jerry West. That'll be next week. Thanks for your tune in to Sports the Nemo Way.